So we're going to start a sugya tonight called Lav Shekadmo Essay. I don't know if you've ever heard that sugya. And what we want to do is, we want to cover the sugya with part of the lumdus. There's a lot more lumdus. We'll do whatever we can. And what you want to do is, you want to open up to Daf Yudal and Amud Beis. Okay then? Right. We would go into there, but they're having a class there. Omar Rabba Barachana, Omar Rab Yochanan. Last line on Yudal and Amud Beis. Kol losase shekadmo ese lokin olav. Let's explain. We have a rule with regard to Malkius that we've discussed in the past, and that is lav hanitak lese. Let's take the classical case of Nosar. If you leave the meat of the carbon over beyond its allotted time, it becomes nosar, and you violated an isur nosar. Lo sasiru menu ad boker. And then the Torah says that any nosar is ba'esh tisrofu, which means you have a mitzvah of burning the nosar. That mitzvah, which could only be fulfilled once you violated the avera, because it's meaningless to talk about burning nosar unless you have nosar, is menatek the lav. What does that mean to be menatek the lav? In a sense, it's a tikkun on the lav. The Torah gave you the option of undoing what you did to some extent. And the nafkamina is that you don't get malchus. That's called lav hanitak lesi. Rabbi Barbar Chanan, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that's the tradition that he had. We'll soon see that there's going to be a question about this tradition. Did Rabbi Yochanan actually say it or not? He claims that there's something that's similar to a lav hanitak le'ese, but it's called a lav shekadmo ese, which means that as opposed to an ese that comes after the lav, the Torah says, lo sosiru mena boker, and then the Torah says, hanosa mena boker of aish tisrofu, the ese comes after the lav. What happens if the ese comes before the lav? And the Rishonim here have a tremendous machlokas how to interpret this case or category called lav shekadmo esei. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Kol losa se shekadmo esei lokin alav." Ha'asal hashmini dafilu man diomar lav hanitak li esei ein lokin alav. Rashi implies that there's machlokas about that, but let's go with the man diomar lav hanitak li esei ein lokin alav. The Torah gave you the possibility of fixing up the avera that you, the criminal act that you perform by doing an essay. Lomar, lo sasakach. The Torah is saying, don't do so and so. But imasisa, if you violated that lav, then asei zos v'impoter. That's called a lav hanitak liyes. The Ashmina Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan comes to tell me that hani mili the essay haba achar halav. When the essay comes after the lav, and when the essay comes after the lav, she'ena to yochol kaima eli achar averis halav. The Torah is specifically giving you this essay for one purpose and one purpose only, to be menatek or metake in the lav, because the essay is only feasible after the violation of the lav. It's meaningless to talk about Srefas Nosar unless you've already violated Nosar. So that's what Rashi says is the case of Lav Hanitak Liese. And therefore we assume that the essay which you can be Makayim after the Aver Salav is the Onshel Shalav and Tikuno. Avo, but essay Shekodem Esalav. The last line.
How's
the onus of the lav would be malchus, but if you it's a replacement. It's a substitute, right? Right. It's a substitute for the lav, for the onus. In other words, the Torah is going to punish you by forcing you to undo what you did. Avol, but now the last line in Rashi, and here I want you to read this very carefully. Avol esei shekodam es halav. The atoya chol lekaimo kodem averis halav,
Ein ze nituk halav.
Okay?
Which means that there's something called an essay that comes before the lav, and in such a case, the essay is not a nituk halav, and therefore, even if you fulfill the essay after violating the lav,
right, you cannot alleviate yourself of the punishment of malchus. Now, here, I both have to ask you the
question. The essay is really not connected in many ways to the lav. The kaim will call them other
lav. You've
avoided the lav. So. Where do I put the emphasis in this Rashi? That's what I want to ask you. Meaning, when Rashi says A and then B, which I'll go through in a minute, what's A and what's B, is Rashi's telling you that B is the explanation for A, or A and B are two separate answers to the same question? What makes something a lav shekadmo essay? And Rashi gives A and B two answers to that question. His first answer is, she essay kadam es halav. Which means that if you look in the Torah, and we'll soon see some examples, we'll find that the essay comes before the lav, as opposed to lav anitakli essay, where the essay appears in the Torah after the lav. But then Rashi gives a second answer. And he says, Ati yachol kaimo kodem averas halav. You can fulfill that essay independent of the lav. You haven't violated the lav, and yet you still have the possibility of fulfilling the essay. So how do you read this Rashi? Is Rashi telling you in B what A is? You know, like you say, my friend Sam, right? Sam is my friend. Or is Rashi giving two conditions here, both of which have to be fulfilled in order to arrive at a lav shekodmo essay? Meaning, is Rashi saying, you know what it means that an essay is kadam es halav? It's irrelevant what it says in the Torah. I don't have to read the psukim and see the sequence of the psukim. Rashi's saying, atayochel lekaimo kodem averes halav. Meaning, the Ritva understands that if you could be mekayim the essay independent of the lav, that's called the lav shekadmo essay, regardless of whether the essay appears in the Torah before the lav or after the lav. So even if the essay appears after the lav, but the essay is independent of the lav, says the Ritva, that's enough to qualify, to categorize it as an essay, as a lav shekadmo essay. Means kadmo means not in terms of the way it's written in the Torah, but kadmo means the way you can fulfill the essay. However, that's not the simple pshat in Rashi. In my humble opinion, there's one letter here that's very important in this Rashi, and that letter makes the whole difference. Exactly, the ve'ata. The vav of ve'ata indicates that he's saying A plus B. Rashi requires two conditions to describe something and classify it as a lav shekadmo essay. Number one, it's got to be kadmo es halav. That means in terms of the sequence of the psukim, the essay came first. And number two, ve', and it's got to be ati yochol l'kaimo kodem averes halav. Now, what is the difference between the Ritva and the way we're reading Rashi? The Nafkamina is going to be again the following scenario. What happens if I have a lav and the essay is written after the lav, but the essay applies irrelevant to, regardless of whether he violated the lav? The Ritva would classify that as a lav shekadmo essay, and Rashi, the way we're reading Rashi, requires both A and B, would say it's not a lav shekadmo essay because it's got to be kadima in the psukim in the Torah.
And the difference, the man nafkamina.
Oh, so what's going to be the nafkamina? Okay. So, you know, in the back of the Masifta Gemaras, they have something that's very profound here called the Yalkut HaBiurim. I mean, you could spend endless amount of time trying to plow through this. So I'm going to first start with one particular paragraph. You know, when I say tafasta meruba lo tafasta, if we can get by this, then that would be quite an achievement. He says the following. If you look carefully at the language of Rabbi Yochanan says, what's the first word in Rabbi Yochanan's statement? Call. And the Mefarshim shtel on this word call. We don't find the word call in Shas unless it's coming to be mechadish something. He could have
He could have said, Lo sase shekodmo esse lokin olav. What's the emphasis of kol? And what's tricky about the, you know, trying to answer this question is the following. And that is that if you take a look at the Gemara here on Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, on the very next Amud, we find only one case of a lav shekodmo esse. What's the case of a lav shekodmo esse? And you'll see this three lines down from the top of Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph. I'm fast forwarding just to give you the case. And this is a parsha at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. The Torah says in Perek Hay of Sefer Bamidbar, Pasuk Beis, and then I'm going to read to you Pasuk Gimel, V'yishalchu min amachne, and the Torah goes on to say which Tmeim have to be sent out of the Beis HaMikdash, out of the Machne Kadosh. And then the next Pasuk Gimel says, V'lo yitamu es machaneihem. Now this lo yitamu es machaneihem is the azhara for the lav of a tomei entering into the Mikdash. Now, in classical terms of lav hanita kliyese, the order should have been reversed. It should have said v'lo yitamu es machaneihem, which is the lo sase, and then it should have said v'yishalchu min amachne, which is a mitzvah sase to send the tomei who entered into the Mikdash out of the Mikdash, and that would have made the iser lav of Tomei Shenichnas the Mikdash a classical case of a lav hanitak liyese. But if you go back to our Mishnah lists Elu Hein Halokin at the very beginning of this perek, and one of them is Tomei Shenichnas LeMikdash, which means that a Tomei Shenichnas LeMikdash violating the Iser of Lo Yitamus Machaneim gets Malkus. Now, why is that a problem? So if the Pasuk of V'yishalchu min amachne would have come afterwards, we would have had a serious problem. Because then lo yitamus machneim would be a classical lav hanitak liyese. How then could the Mishnah include it under the Malkios? There's no Malkus for lav hanitak liyese. But the answer is that this is a lav shekodmo esse, which means, again, the way we're interpreting it, that the esse comes before the lav. So when Rabbi Yochanan formulates the principle of kol esse shekodmo liyese, Kol lav shekodmo esse ein lokin alav, as far as we know from Shas, there's only one case that fits that category. The only lav which has an esse that comes to rectify the lav, but the esse is written before the lav, is lo yitamu es machaneh. That's the only lav that we know of. And that's why the Mefarshim are going to work overtime to try to come up with an answer to the question, kol. What did Rabbi Yochanan mean when he said, kol lav shekod moesei? There's only one case.
The Ribbo is easier.
Who says it?
If the Ribbo would be easier, because he doesn't apply to the same in the process.
Correct.
So he'd probably find more case.
Maybe. Well, I want to show you what the Ramban has to say, and then we'll get to the Ritva, because the Ramban is going to come up with a number of cases that you might not have realized that these are other lavim shekod moese, and they're included in the word kol of Rabbi Yochanan. That's going to be the Ramban.
How can you send them out before they went in?
Oh, how can you send them out before they went in? In other words, when do you have a possibility to be mikayim the essay? And the only answer to that question, Rabbi, you're not going to be happy with it, I'm telling you right now, is when someone became Tomei in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, let's say Hashem, somebody died in the Beis HaMikdash, and we know that Ol is Matami Vitumis Mes. Everyone inside that area, again, you have to know the Dinim of Olos, will become Tomei. There was no violation of Knisas Tomei LeBeis HaMikdash. There was no Bias Isur here. But on the other hand, we have a mitzvah of Yishalchu Min HaMachne. We got to get the Tomei out. So the Ritva is going to argue that this case...
So then also, that case is also implied by the Pasuk. In other words, the Pasuk being in that reverse order of send them out of the camp, don't be Matame, it implies that you're sending something out of the camp that became Tomei in the camp.
So Jonathan, you missed one little part of the discussion, and that we said that there are many cases, which we're going to speak about, in which the essay comes after the lav, in terms of the sequence of the psukim, and yet the essay is independent of the law, and you can fulfill the essay even without violating the law. In this case, we have an overlap of both A plus B, because we have the first condition of Rashi that it's kadmo lalav, meaning that the essay comes first in the pasuk says v'yishalchu min hamachta, and then it says of lo yitames machaneihem. And we also have the possibility of fulfilling this essay without the violation of the law. But let's get back to the call, and I want to share with you the Ramban. So the Ramban says the following. This is the Ramban here in Milchamas Hashem, and he says there are a number of lavim besides this one lav that's quoted by the Shas, which fit the bill of Lo Saseh Shekadmoes. And he has three examples. Let's go through the three examples. They're all interesting. The first example is called Motzi Besar Pesach Chutz L'Chabur. The Torah enjoins us from taking the Besar Pesach outside of the Chabur. You know, the Korban Pesach has to be eaten in Chaburas, Selabes of a Selabayas. And the Torah says an essay. The Torah says Lo Totzi Min HaBasar Chutza. And the Torah also says B'Bayis Echad Yeyachel. Bayis Echad means in one Chabur. So the Ramban submits that this violation would incur Malchus. You might say it's a lav hanitak li esei. Says Ramban, no. It's a lav shekadmo esei. Does anybody have a chumash? We'll see the psukim inside. Is this a chumash?
No. Where is that
pasuk? Shmos Yud Beis, pasuk tesvav. In Parshas Bo. That's the Parsha of Korban Pesach. Oh, shekad. Okay, let me use this as a mark. Okay, well, it's not going to be too long that we get to this in the Kriyas HaParshiyos.
Where did you say?
Yud Beis, Pasuk. Did I say Tetzvav? What did I say? Yud Beis Tetzvav. So let's see if we find it. No, I'm not finding it. That's going to be a problem. So I made a mistake here. I don't know. Okay, we'll, I don't want to kill too much time, but we'd like to find this here.
It didn't make sense because...
Just one second. Give me just a second to find the pasuk here. All right. It would be nice to see the pasuk inside, but I'm having trouble finding it now. So again, what's the lav? The lav is Lo Totzi Min HaBasar HaChutza, and the essay is B'Bayis Echad Yeochel.
That's not the pasuk of the Korban Pesach.
So do you have the pasuk inside?
No, I don't know where those pasukim are, but certainly it's
on. All right. You found it?
Chafbet.
Okay, thank you. Instead of tedvav, it's chafbet. Okay. So let's see. Chafbet. Oh, so it says the atem lo teitzu ish mi pesach boker mi pesach beso ad boker. Okay, but where's
That's not
what we're looking for, Jonathan.
Sorry.
Yeah. Lo totzi min habasar achutza.
Where do you see that?
I don't find it.
Oh, okay.
I find it in the Ramban, but not in the Chumash. If I had more time... Yeah, but again, Rabbi, you know, we're always limited in time, so I apologize for that. In Bar Ilan, I would find it in about a minute, but... Okay, let's go on to the second example. Of essay shekadam lalav.
Yeah, memvav.
Memvav.
Okay, good.
Okay, good. Mem Vav. You see, he writes Eskov, and it is Mem Vav. Okay, good. So that's the first example of the Ramban. Bebayis Echad Ye'ochel. So the essay comes first. And not only that, you could be mekayim the essay independent of the averus halach, right? You don't have to violate los sotzim and abayis, right? Achutza, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of abayis echad yeyochad. So again, this fits both criteria, both cases. That's the first. Next, hamachava eish hamarocha. Here's the case. I think, again, if my memory serves me correctly, Vayikra Vav. Open up to Vayikra Vav and see if you can find it.
Say it again.
Do you have it, Vayikra Vav?
What's the pasuk again?
I don't know the pasuk because I...
Yeah, Vav. Eish tukad al
Zbeach.
My eternal flame.
Lo techaveh. So the essay comes before the lav, and the essay is cut of the lav in the sense it's independent of the aver salah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So again, if a person takes, if he takes the besar karbon in the Pesach case outside his chabura, will he get malchus? This is a trick question.
Yes. Yeah.
He will get malchus. Excellent. You didn't fall into my trap. If a person extinguishes the flame on the mizbeach, will he get malchus? The answer is yes. Why? Because it's considered an essay kodem lalav. And again, it fills both conditions of essay kodem lalav. The third case of the Ramban is in Vayikra Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, if there's no printing error here. And that's the case of someone who brings a mincha, a carbon mincha, without melach. And the Torah says, b'melach timlach, that you should salt the carbon with melach. And then it says, Lo sashbis bris melach me'al shulchanecha. And once again, it's an essay that's both kadma lalav, literally, and also it's independent of the averis halav. Says Ramban, that's why Rabbi Yochanan used the term kol. Because it's not just the one case that we have in the Gemara of Tamei Shenichnas of Migdash that gets Malkus. There are three other lavim where if you violate them, despite the fact that this is an essay, you would nevertheless get Malkus. The essay is not given as a nituk of the lav. It's not there to rectify the lav. And there's a double proof for that. And maybe you need both. A, it's written before the lav, that indicates it's independent. And secondly, logically, or shall I say, technically, you fulfill the essay without the violation of the law. That's the Ramban. Now, the Pnei Yoshua, I'm not sure if he was aware of this Ramban or he wasn't aware of this Ramban. But he suggests a different answer to the call of Rabbi Yochanan. He says that if you open up to Vayikra Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Mem Vav, you'll find another case of a lav hanitak li essay. Because the Torah says, with regard to a mitzora, badad yeshev. Do you have such a pasuk?
Yeah.
So, what happens if a mitzora enters, now listen carefully, enters into Machne Yisrael? You see, in the case of mitzora, there's a very unique category in Tumah. He gets sent michutz l'shalosh machnas. Right? So he has to even get out of Machne Yisrael. What happens if a mitzora enters into the Machne Yisrael? And we would have said that he doesn't get Malkus because the lav hanitak l'asei badad yeshev. Rabbi Yochanan says the Pnei Yeshua would say that if the mitzora enters into the Machne Yisrael, he gets Malkus. Why? Because the kiyum of badad yeshev comes before the averis halav. It's absolutely independent of the averis halav. Meaning that there's a kiyum mitzvah of mitzora, that he goes richuk makom chutz l'machne, and that's his mitzvah. Whether he violated the aver of going inside the machne or he did not violate the aver, the essay still exists. So Rabbosai, in the sum total picture of it, we have five different lavim that we know of, which have an essay, and after you violate the lav, you're commanded in the essay. But since the essay comes before the lav, which means sequentially in the scriptures, and independent in terms of the essay living on its own, so to speak, therefore you will get malchus in all those cases. Okay. That's what I wanted to point out. And I think this sheds a light on the Rashi that we began with, because Rashi says, Esei shekodam es halav, that's number one, which is true in all those five cases, and atayochel lekaimo kodam aver salav. Okay.
Are there any examples of one that
only... Oh, that's what I wanted to get to, Jonathan. Okay, give me a minute. Yeah. Okay, in order to answer that question, we're going to have to go through the sugi itself. So let's, without further ado, let's just plow through the Gemara, try to understand it as best as we can, and see if we can come up with an afkamina between the Ritva and Rashi. And we're now on Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph. Amrullah. There was a tradition that was handed down in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So there's a group of people, we don't know who they are, and they come to Rabbi Yochanan and they say to him, Amar Lahu, did you actually say this? No, I'm sorry. Amarta, did you actually say this? There's a tradition in your name. And guess what? Amar lahu, lo, I never said it. This, I'm having nostalgia here to Rav Soloveitchik. How many times did I hear people quote Rav Soloveitchik? He says, I never said it. So Rav Yochanan says, I never said it. What do you mean you never said it? Rabba heard it from you. And Rabba becomes very indignant. He says, Elohim, right? That's a Lashon Shvuah. Amora, he said it. Meaning I can testify, I heard it from him. But not only that, Uksiva Usnina. And it's written in the Torah, and it's codified in our Mishnah. Where is it written in the Torah? It says, V'yishalchu min amachne. That's in Pasuk Beis, and then it says in Pasuk Gimel, "V'lo yitamu es machaneim." That means the averas halav is lo yitamu, which is a tamei shenichnas lemigdash, and the yishalchu min amach is the essay that we have to throw him out of the migdash, get him out of it as fast as possible. But the essay comes before the law. And then utnina, let's look at the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, Abol HaMikdash Tameh gets Malkus. How can he get Malkus? When he violates the law and enters into the Mikdash, we have an essay to get him out of the Mikdash. That would be a classical case of a Lav HaNitak L'essay. What could justify the Mishnah that says he gets Malkus for Tameh HaNitak L'essay? The answer is, it's a Lav Shekodmo L'essay. No, so wait a minute. But Rabbi Yochanan denied saying it. And Rabbi Yochanan cannot be accused of not knowing our Mishnah and not knowing a pasuk in Chumash, or two pasuk, I should say. Ella, my timer. What does it mean that Rabbi Yochanan denied that he said it? Kahadarbe. He did say it. He said he didn't say it. He meant I changed my mind, I rescinded my statement. And why did he do so? Mishum de kashale onis. He found a case of a lav shekodmo essay, and he learned a brisa, and the brisa says that he doesn't get malchus. Meaning the brisa understood that ones, which is a lav hanitak li essay, but it's not a regular lav hanitak li essay, because it's a lav shekodmo essay, meaning the ones, because of his dastardly action, has to marry this woman, Velosia Leisha. And the Torah says, Losukal Shalcha Kol Yom, he's not allowed to divorce her. If he divorces her, he has to remarry her if he's a Yisrael. He can't do it if he's a Kohen. And by remarrying her, he's menatik the lav. And guess what? The Braisa says he's potter from Malchus. But this is a case of Lav Shekod Moli Esei. Why is it Lav Shekod Moli Esei? Because let's read the Pasuk in Dvarim Chav Beis, Pasuk Chav Tes, and the Pasuk says, V'nosan ha'ish ha'shochev ima la'vianara chamishim kosef, v'lo siya li'isha. And then it says, Lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yomov. And again, we fulfill both conditions of Rashi. A, the essay comes before the lav in the Seder HaPsukim. And B, the essay is independent of the Averis HaLav. He has to marry her whether or not he divorces her. It's not that since he divorced her, since he created Nosar, therefore he has to burn the Nosar. But rather the opposite is true. He has to marry her, and that comes first. So why then does he not get Malchus? What makes Ones a case of Lav Hanitakli Esei, when in truth it's a case of Lav Shekodmo Esei? And Rabbi Yochanan was so disturbed by this question that he threw his hands up in the air and he said, I have to admit defeat.
Lo Yochanan Shalcha is not independent of marriage.
What do you mean? Is that a significant? I'm not sure. You're probably right, Daniel, but I'm not sure yet if I understand what you're thinking down the line. So let's see if that kicks in. Anyway, let's just read the line, this explanation of why Rabbi Yochanan rescinded his statement. Mishum dekashele ones. The sanya we learned in the Braisa, ones shegeresh. A man was ma'anes a woman, and he married her, and he fulfilled the mitzvah of losi aliisha, and then afterwards he divorced her, and he violated the iser of lo yuchal shalcha in Yisrael hu machzir. Good, that I understand. He was in violation of a lav when he divorced her. Let him fix up the lav and fulfill the essay of Elosi Elisha, remarry her. Again, he could only do that if he's a Yisrael. But the key here, Rabosai, in this price is the next two words, V'eino loke. In other words, we subsume ones under the classical principle of lav hanitakli essay. In Kohen hu loke. If he's a Kohen and he doesn't have the possibility of availing himself of the essay to be attacking the love, he cannot remarry her, ain't no machzir, and he gets Malchus. So the kasha of Rabbi Yochanan is in Yisrael who machzir ain't a loka mai, lo se shekdom oli essayhu, vililke, he should get Malchus. Rabosai, I'm waiting for a question.
So the Ayus itself is a lav.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I think if she's not married, so it might be a violation of Kedeshus according to the Rambam. According to the Ravid, it's a bittul essay of Velosi Elisha, of Kikat Yishisha. You know, that's complicated. But Rabosai, there should be a glaring question here that I want you to raise. What should bother you? Again, Rabbi Yochanan had an original statement, correct? And in the original statement, Rava said, I have a clear-cut, explicit support for that statement. Now Rabbi Yochanan has a kashma of Raisa, and therefore he drops the ball, and he rescinds his original statement. What now do we have to ask? And the Gemara doesn't raise this question.
Well, how does he understand?
What's he going to do with the case of Tomei Shenichnas L'Migdash? The Mishnah says that a Tomei Shenichnas L'Migdash, even though there's an essay of Yishalcho min Amachne, nevertheless he gets Malchus. What happened to the Lav Hanitakli essay? And the answer must be that it's a Lav Shekod Moli essay. No, so you found the Stira, but why, you know, it's... Well, I'm just saying technically, I see here a logistical problem. Rabbi Yochanan should be caught in a contradiction, in a bind. You know, there's no logical consistency here. I have one case of a Lav Shekodmo essay of Tomei Shenichnas L'Migdash. I have another case of a Lav Shekodmo essay in the case of Ones. In one case, I have our Mishnah that Tomei Shenichnas L'Migdash gets Malchus. In the other case of Ones, he doesn't get Malchus. So what does Rabbi Yochanan do? He denies the whole spiel? My high.
He's not denying. He's just saying he's just kind of. It could be that he just doesn't know.
Correct. That's one way of going. You know, maybe Rabbi Yochanan is
very strong saying that that's a kol of shekadmo.
Right. But Rabbi
Yochanan. I'm not familiar with that statement anymore. I don't know. I'm still learning. I haven't figured out the answer yet.
Right. Okay, Jonathan. That's one way of learning it. But I just want to point out to you that when they asked him if he said it, he denied that he said it. You know, he could have come back and said, look, I'm still in the learning stage, you know. I'm still a tyron, as we call it in the army. You know, I'm not yet... So I wanted to say a lump this year. And Ravosai, tell me if you think this makes sense. But just give me a minute. I'm very excited about this. If it convinces you, I'm excited. I want to say the following. There's a fundamental difference, I think, between the case of remarrying your divorced wife and getting the heck out of the Migdash. In the case of remarrying your divorced wife, I think it's fair to assume that you're back to square one. You were married to her. You, according to Torah law, you had to stay married to her. You went ahead and you divorced her. Now you married her. So, let's recite Sheva Brachos. Let's dance in front of the Chosakala. Not so in the case of Tommy Shenichnas LeMikdash. Tommy Shenichnas LeMikdash is Metami the Mikdash. And the Torah says get him out of there because there's an ongoing continuous tumah that's taking place. But even when he gets out of the Mikdash, he doesn't undo the original law. For example, if Reuven steals an animal from Shimon and he returns that animal to Shimon, we're back to square one. Again, you can always argue, what about the anguish and blah, blah, blah. I understand all that. But in terms of the Mitzius, we're back to the Mitzius that we started with. The Torah says that a Tommy can't go into the Mikdash because he's Metame the Mikdash. That is irreversible. We cannot take a time machine back and reverse that. So what I'm suggesting is the following. That you're right, Jonathan, and I'm also right. We're both right. You're right that Rabbi Yochanan rescinded the call. He didn't want to give you a flat, outright statement that in all cases you get Malkus for a lav shekodmo liyesa. But what he did do is, I think, he gave us a standard, a barometer by which we can judge whether the lav is a lav anitak liyesa or it's not a lav anitak liyesa. The answer to that question is not, well, let's look and see where the essay is written. Or let's look and see if the essay is independent of the law. But on the contrary, we want to ask a different question. Does the essay uproot the law? Does the essay successfully bring us back to square one? And I want to see if this could work out with the Ramban. Again, let's go through the three cases of the Ramban. What was the first case of the Ramban? I took the basar out of the chabura. What did I do now? I brought it back to the chabura. That could be a law anitak liyesa. Is Dachnan what we're saying is that the call of Rabbi Yochanan could not include the violation of the law of Lo Totzias Abbasar Achutza? Why? Because that would be a law Hanitak Lesay, no less than the case of Ma'anes who remarries his divorced wife. Then we get to the case of the Eish. Here it's much more complicated. This could come under the call. Why? Because the Mizbeach has to be equipped with an Eish for every single second. When you extinguish the Eish al Gabi Mizbeach, that's final. That's irreversible. And what was the third case in the Ramban? Right. He brought a Karva Mincha without salt. That's irreversible. So what I'm suggesting is that there are many cases in which Rabbi Yochanan would argue that since the essay came before the lav, what the Torah might be indicating, but it's not chok v'lo yavar, is that the essay is not necessarily a nituk on the losos. It may be, it may be not. Rabbi, you wanted to say something before, and I just was so excited about what I came up with, you know.
Just the concept of the lo yochel garsha.
Lo yochel shalcha, right.
The shalcha. So doesn't that imply that there is no concept of gerush in the halal?
Excellent question. That's a Gemara in Tmura. The Gemara in Tmura says when the Torah says you can't do something, if you do it, is lo savid, yavid lo mahani. What do we do with the Gemara in Tmura? And we pass him like a bai, it's one of the Al-Kagam. We say that it's what? It's irreversible. Meaning that if the Torah says you can't do it, then it's not valid if you do it. What is the Torah saying here? Is the Torah saying that A, you're not allowed to divorce your wife, but if you divorce your wife, it's valid? Or is the Torah saying you cannot divorce your wife and the divorce, therefore, if so facto, is not valid at all? So unfortunately, I don't have a sefer in my library that I need. And this sefer addresses your question. I have a footnote here to take a look in Chidushe Rav Rozovsky. What was his first name? Rav Shmuel Rozovsky. It's a 20-volume set. I think it was published posthumously by his Talmidim. He was a Rosh Yeshiva in Panovich. He had a special relationship with my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, because when he was ill, they sent him to Boston for treatments. And, okay, I don't want to get too emotional here, but my friend Rav Moshe Chorsky, who was just killed, accompanied his grandfather to spend 4 hours with Rav Shmuel in the hospital. And the 4 hours was spent in learning. And Rav Moshe said it was the most unbelievable. It was like being at Maamad Har Sinai itself. And when Rav Shmuel went back to Eretz Yisrael, he was down in the dumps. He said, I have no one in Eretz Yisrael to talk to and learn like I had in Boston. In any event, so in Chidush Rav Shmuel, he addresses your question. What happened to the principle here of Kol Di'ovid, Di'ovid Rachmona Lo Savid, I'ovid Lo Mahan? I do have an answer to Rav Shmuel's question, but it's not fair to plug it in here because the Gemara doesn't know what I'm about to say until the Gemara reveals this later on. But the Gemara later on is going to take the pasuk of Lo Siya Le'isha and place it after the lav of Lo Yuchal L'Shalcha. And that would answer Rav Shmuel's question, because if you had a crane and you could pull up the Lo Siya Le'isha and place it at the end of the pasuk after Lo Yuchal L'Shalcha, then Rav Shmuel's question is answered. Because then the Torah is saying that if you divorce your wife, you have to remarry her. And this is the exception to the rule of Yovid Lo Mahan. But the Gemara doesn't know that yet. At this point, the Gemara is absolutely convinced, and this is why Rabbi Yochanan had to rescind his original position, that we have here a mitzvah saseh that comes before the losas. The Ma'anes has to marry the Anusa. Period. End of pasuk. Then, if he divorces her, he violates the law of Yuchal Shalch. Should he get Malchus for that? According to Rabbi Yochanan, in his original position, he should get Malchus. The Brisa says he doesn't get Malchus, despite the fact that it's an essay shekodam lav. Nevertheless, we treat it as a lav hanitak lies. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan pulls back his chips. The rest of this amud, perhaps, I can think we could fairly say, from here to the end of the page, is to try to answer this question of Rabbi Yochanan. Why is it that Ones gets Malchus? I'm sorry. Why is it that Ones does not get Malchus? And we treat Ones as a lav hanitak li esei and not as a lav shekodmo esei. We'll start with Ula's answer. Now we have to understand, as an introduction to Ula, that the 22nd perek of Dvarim, which we're dealing with now in the case of Ones, Dvarim Chav Beis, has two major parts to it, which both have a very strong common denominator. A man could create a pagam in a woman in two different scenarios. If you turn to Perek Chav Beis and say for Dvarim, but a little bit earlier, before the parasha of Ma'anes, to Pasuk Yud Tes, you will see the case of Motzi Shema. A man marries a woman, Becheskas Besula, and he slanders her. He wakes up the next day, runs to Bezdin, and he says, Lo Matzasi Lebitcha Besulin, she was a Be'ula, and then they bring out the sheets and the whole business, and that's called Motzi Shema. So let's open up to the parasha of Motzi Shemra here in Kitetze. Just 1 second.
486.
486, okay. And the Torah says the following. Just 1 second, let's make life easier for ourselves, and we'll get the exact pasuk. Pasuk Yutes. Okay. But what does it say in Pasuk Yutes? The Anshuo so mea kasef, mea kasef, etc., etc. And then it says, Velo siya li isha, lo yuchal, lishalcha, kol yom. So the essay of Lo siya li isha comes first. And then comes the Los Sel Yuchal Lashalcha Kol Yomov, and therefore becomes what we call a Lav Shekodmo essay. Says Ula, you know what? This pasuk of the Lo Sia Leisha, which is pasuk Yutes, replaces, I don't know what word to use in English, what word would you say describes when one thing makes another thing unnecessary? Not replaces, I don't know.
Cancels.
It what?
Cancels.
Obviates.
Obviates the need, or cancels the need for Pasuk Chavtes. Because what does it say in Pasuk Chavtes? It says, in the case of an ones, velosi alisha. Once I have pasuk yutes, I don't need pasuk koftes. Once I know that in the case of motzi shemra, there's a mitzvah I say to marry her and remain married to her. He's not allowed to divorce her. I know it in the case of ones. Why? Because who's worse? Who's the biggest scoundrel? Who's a greater, more profound criminal, if we have to give the grades to the Chumras HaAvera? The Chumras HaAvera of Motzi Shema, the Chumras HaAvera of Ones. Which is more common? Ones is more common. Why? Because it's a Maisa, it's not just Dibur, and it's a Maisa Begufa. It's a Begam in the Gufa. So the Gemara has a Kal V'Chumra. Amar Ula lo yomar lo si alisha biones. The pasuk lo si alisha, which is pasuk of tes in this parak, is completely unnecessary. Viligmar mi motzi shemra. The Torah already in pasuk yutes gave me velo si alisha motzi shemra, and it's a kal v'chomer. Uma motzi shemra shelo asa maisa. All he's guilty of is dibur. Talk is cheap. Amar Achmar, the Torah says, "Velo si alisha is ones. He's not just dibur. He's a maisa. Is lo koshke? How much more so should he be obligated to marry?"
For him, the issue is something he doesn't want. So it's like a punishment. We say, "Ain't mentioned the din."
That's a very serious question. I mean, all the Mefarshim talk about this question. What about Einon Shemin Adin?
Is that nice?
Right. So let's hold off on your question just so that we can try to get through this sugya. So Lama Nemar, why does it have to say Lo Si Alish and Pasuk Chavtes in the case of Ones? And now the Gemara says him Eino In. This is what I spoke about, the crane before. We're going to pick up three words, Velosi Elisha, and we're going to place it down at the end of the Pasuk. So let's look at Pasuk Chavtes, and we're going to read it the following way. We're going to read it like this. Lo Yuchal L'Shalcha Kol Yomov, Velosi Elisha. We're going to put the essay after the lot. That's called an Eino Inyan. What does an Eino Inyan mean? An Eino Inyan means you find something in its context, it's superfluous, unnecessary, you put it in a different Inyan. What gives you the right to take it from Inyan A to Inyan B? The answer is because they're juxtaposed in the same parsha, but more than that, there's a lowest common denominator. They're both dealing with the pagam of an Isha, and a punishment for that pagam. In the case of Otzi Shemrai, he incurred that, he generated that pagam through Dibur. In the case of Ones, he engendered that pagam through Maisa. We can take the Velosi Elisha from motzi shemra, borrow it, and place it into the pasha of ones that I don't need in the pasha of the ones, because the Torah says lo si elishan ones. Ah, in eno inyan lefanov. Is tneu inyan liachrov, and what's the significance of putting velosi elisha liachrov? Is the answer is it becomes olav hanitak liyese sheim gireish yachzir, that if he violated the iser of lo yuchal shalcha, he now becomes obligated in a mitzvah of what? Of lo si elisha. Or both say, why is velosi elisha now olav hanitak liyese? Because that essay is after the law, and not only that, that essay only is engendered by the violation of the law. You'll tell me, well, wait a minute, every manis has to marry his anusa? The answer is that's the first velosi elisha. So the second velosi elisha only comes into existence after he violates the law. And now we have a law and ethic, let's see. That's ula. Mamsha masterpiece. I would have given, if I was on the committee, I would have given Ula a PhD just for this chiddush alone. And the Gemara rejects it.
So was that in Pasuk Yud or Chavtes?
What?
Was that in Shemra and Oynes, we said they're saying that?
It depends which you're talking about. There's one that, it says it twice. In Yutes, in Motzi Shemra, in Chavtes, in Oynes. If you're asking me which one is superfluous, it's the one in Yutes. Excuse me. It's the one... just one second. Which is more chamur? Is the one in Chavtes is superfluous? Just one second. Hold on a second. Just don't get me confused. What Kavah Chomer is that this one is more chamur. Oh, I'm sorry. The one in Yutes is superfluous because I could certainly derive Velosi Elisha in the case of Motzi Shema from Velosi Elisha in Ones. Correct? No. Did I get that wrong? I'm sorry. I apologize. I get. This. Just one second. Don't get frazzled, Berzon. Get yourself together. Just one second. Okay. He says the following: Omar Ula Lo Yomar Velo Si Elisha Biones. Okay. I'm sorry. Sorry. In other words, Ones is more chamur than what? The Motzi Shemra. So what do I do with Velo Si Elisha and Ones? If Velo Si Elisha and Ones is it's superfluous. What do I do with it? And the answer is, what I do with it is, I push it to after the lav, and I make it into a nitak liyese. So again, where is the velosi liisha in ones before the averis halav? That's in pasuk yutes. You got me? Because the one in pasuk yutes is the basis for a kal vachomer, from which I derive that ones has to marry his anusa. That's already that's the essay that Kodmol alav. So that I borrow from what? From Motzi Shema. Now you're asking me, so what do I do with the Losi Elisha in Ones, which is totally superfluous? I push it to after the lav, and I make it into a lav hanita kli essay. I'm telling you, main olam hava. And the Gemara doesn't like it. And that gets me despondent. Why does the Gemara like it? Because the Kavachomer is not a convincing Kavachomer, because Motzi Shemra is more chamur than Ones.
Motzi Shemra is talking about they're already married.
Right.
Why is it have a pasuk Lo Si Elisha? They're married already.
Excellent question. The Gemara is going to raise that question in about 3 minutes. So hold off. You were machavi to the sugi itself. That's not bad. You're in good company.
I don't know where they're not in that case.
In which case?
In the case of Mr. Shemra.
Yeah, well, you're asking why he gets Malkus?
No,
he does get Malkus. V'Yisrael so. Correct. We have a Rashi right here in front of us. V'Yisrael so is Malkus.
Seems like it's right about the same guy.
And that's going to be the shlug of Ula. Because what's the punishment for Ones? Here's the paradox. The punishment for Ones is a financial penalty. What's the punishment for Motzi Shemra? It's a twofold punishment. It's a financial penalty,
yes.
And he gets Malkus. So the Gemara says, you want to know which is Kal and which is Chamur? And your standard, your barometer, is Maisa or Dibur? I have a different barometer. My barometer is Onesh. Let's gauge the Chumras HaAveira, not by your logic, but by the way the Torah views it. If the Torah comes down hard, and imposes a more harsh punishment, in this case a double punishment, in the case of Motzi Shemra, whereas in the case of Ma'anis there's only a single punishment, that itself gives me a new standard by which I define Kal and Chomor. You're defining Motzi Shemra as Kal because it's Dibur, and Ones as Chomer because it's Maisa. I'm going to tell you something else, buddy. Thanks, Ula, but no thanks. I'm going to tell you that Motzi Shemra is Chomer because of its Onesh, and the Onesh fits the crime. It reflects back on the Chumas Avera, whereas Ma'anes is Kal because all you get in the case of Ma'anes is a financial punishment. But the Gemara says it even better than that. The Gemara says that we have a universal principle which we spent a lot of time on here in the third parak of Makkos, called Kedei Rishoso. Mishum Risha Achras Atom Achayviyat Risha. One punishment for one Avera. The exception to that rule is Motzi Shemra. That puts Motzi Shemra into a separate category. Give it a, you know, a crown on its head and give it a special seat, you know, a king's throne. Because you will never find a double punishment of Malkus and Mammon for one crime, except in the case of Motzi Shemra.
It breaks rule in two ways. It's also a lav shei
rei maaseh. Right. There are a lot of different rules that it breaks. So let's see the Gemara. Vakati, says the Gemara, ones mi Motzi Shemra lo gomar. And this, by the way, could explain why Rabbi Yochanan was not comfortable with the answer to the question as to why you don't get Malkus in the case of Ones. Ones Motzi Shemra lo gomar, deikol mifrach. Mala Motzi Shemra, shekein loke umishalim. In other words, Ones pays a knas, but he doesn't get Malkus. Motzi Shemra pays a knas, but at the same time, he gets Malkus. Under the universal rule of Kedei Rishoso, which punishment would be meted out in the case of a double punishment? We always give you the more severe one, which would be what? Malkus. But here the Torah says, Yonshoso Mea Kesef, in addition to the Malkus. Rashi points this out. If you take a look, and this is what, Daniel, you were referring to earlier, Rashi says, Dibra Maskil, Shekein Lokim, Mishalim, Bitchilosa, Kedixiv, the Yisru Oso, the Anshu Oso. If you have any big subis, the Yisru Ze Malkus. But look at the next line in the Gemara. The next line in the Gemara is very baffling. The Gemara says, Ella, we have to come up with another justification why the case of Ones is defined as a Lavani Takliese. And the Gemara says, Lo Yomar, Lo Sia Li Isha B'motzi Shemra, Viligmar Miones. In other words, let's flip it around. Until now we said that the Lo Si Elisha Pasuk Chof Tes in the Parash of Ones was completely superfluous. No! Let's say it the other way around. Let's say the Lo Si Elisha Pasuk Yud Tes in the Parasha of Motzi Shemra is superfluous. Why? Because we derive it from Ones. Because Ma Ones, which is Kal, right? It's Kal comparative to Motzi Shemra. She'eno Loke U'mishalim. In other words, if we look at the standards of Ones, we see clearly that Ones is Kal in comparison to Motzi Shem, which is Chomer, a double punishment. And nevertheless, Omar Achmana, the Torah tells me, in the case of Ones, which is Kal, Velosi Elisha, is Motzi Shem Ralo Kolshkin, is therefore Pasuk Yud Tes now becomes superfluous. And Lama Nema, why does it say Losi Elisha in Motzi Shemra? Im Eino Inyan Motzi Shemra, Tneu Inyan Leones. But again, Ones, we have a Pasuk Losi Elisha, Im Eino Inyan Lefon of Tneu Inyan Leachrov. I just don't understand this Gemara. Rabosai, the Gemara began, and that was Rabbi Yochanan's objection, with the fact that, I'm sorry, that was Ulas Kal V'chomer, with the fact that Motzi Shemra is Kal. Because Motzi Shemra lo asa maisa. Whereas ones is also maisa. Now the Gemara is saying, wait a minute, but motzi shemra is chamur, and therefore it doesn't need velo seal ish because motzi shemra is lokim mishalim. What do you mean lokim mishalim? But this lokavit maisa. Stachavos, I think we said beautifully before. The Gemara is vacillating back and forth. What is your standard of evaluation for kal and chamur? Is your standard of evaluation the gufa de avera, or is your standard of comparison the onus itself? And the Gemara is going back and forth. Initially, the Gemara thinks that we should evaluate kal and chamur in comparing ones and motzi shemra from the gufa avera, and from that perspective, certainly motzi shemra is kal. Now the Gemara makes the switch and says, no, let's look at a different standard of comparison. What defines and determines kal and chomer? It's not the guf ha-vera, which would make motzi shemra kal, but it's the onesh, which would make motzi shemra chomer. And now the Gemara is saying, let's go back to the guf ha-vera. And at every stage in the Gemara takes a different position. Now the position is, let's take a look at the guf ha-vera. And in the guf ha-vera, motzi shemra, at this point the Gemara is taking the standard of what? Not the guf ha-vera, but the onesh, my mistake. And from the perspective of onesh, motzi shemra is chamur. That makes the lo si alisha of motzi shemra superfluous. If it's superfluous, let's just tag it on to ones. And in ones, it's also likewise superfluous because we have lo si alisha. So the Gemara rejects it. Because how can you assume that motzi shemra is more chomer based on onesh? But what about the guf ha-maisa? And the Gemara goes back and forth. Motzi shemra mi-onesh nami lo gomar. De'iko mifrach mali onesh shekein osa maisa. Basically, the Gemara says, you know what? There are two different standards, two different alternative roads to take. And each one leads to a different conclusion as to which is kal and which is chomer in the plugta between ones and motzi shemra. It's look, at the end of the day, the Gemara says you can't make any kal v'chomer. You're absolutely frozen. And if you're absolutely frozen, that means that ones is left with one v'lo si alisha, and that lo si alisha is kadmo l'lav, and if it's kadmo l'lav, then it's not essay, and we're back to Rabbi Yochanan's kasha, which forced him to rescind his original solution. Ella says the Gemara, lo yomar lo si alisha motzi shemra. Rabbi Sachnu, it's your kasha from before. I told you to wait 5 minutes. You're mechavin to the Gemara. Sheri ishtohi. Forget about all this kal v'chomer business. You know why I have a right to take velo si alisha, rip it out of motzi shemra pasuk yutes, and have it, you know, available for pasuk of tes for ones? Because the pasuk itself is superfluous. Forget about kal v'chomers. Why in the world is the Torah telling the motzi shemra to marry this woman when he's already married to her? Hare ishtohi. The only thing that bothers me is why the Gemara boker tov, you know, like what were you thinking until now? Is lama nema? Im eino inyil motzi shemra tneu inyil li ones. Im eino inyil lefanov tneu inyil li achrov. Very stark. So again, this is so beautiful because we only appreciate this Gemara because we've gone through the entire Shakla Vitari, the Sugya. Now, it's now that we've built up, you know, painstakingly, step by step, the comparison between Motzi Shemra and Ones, and the fact that these two work in tandem, and if there's an extra Lo Si Alisha here, we can attach it here. Now we're ready for the great breakthrough. I call it the great jump. That velo si alisha motzi shemra is completely unnecessary. Kvar ishtohi, and therefore I can attach it to ones, and then it becomes olav hanitak liyesei. The Gemara is not happy with it. V'ema, you know why I need velo si alisha in the case of motzi shemra? In the inyan lefanov, the most tenei inyan lachrov di day. We don't have to stretch our arm out all the way to Ones. We need the Velosi Elisha to establish that Motzi Shemra itself is a Lav Hadita Kli Esei. And therefore you shouldn't get Malkus. Again, what are we going to do with the Pasuk of Yisrael? So I don't know. But the Gemara is saying that we need to be Menatek the Lav of Motzi Shemra in a case where he divorces her, that he has the option. He can remarry her. And if he remarries her, he doesn't get Malkus. So it means that the Yisro so is for the very slander of Motzi Shemra. Then he gets Malkus, in addition to the Mea Kesef. Then, the Torah says that in addition to this double punishment for Motzi Shemra, namely, that you pay the money and then you get Malkus, you also have to remain married to her. No divorce, my friend. And if you divorce her, you violate a lav. Ah, okay. He violated the lav. What happens now? Does he get Malkus? Or does he not get Malkus? And the answer is, he doesn't get Malkus. You know why? Because the Torah tells him to remarry this woman. That makes it into lav. Hanitat li esei, but the only problem is, where is the esei? And the Gemara says that the esei is written before the lav. Fascinating. So again, what does it mean for Velosi Elisha? He's already married her. The answer is Velosi Elisha after he divorced her. No, if you're telling me Velosi Elisha after he divorced her, and Jonathan, I'm going to come back to your original question that started an hour ago. If it's Velosi Elisha after he divorced her, that makes it into what? A lav hanita kli esei. No, if it's a lav hanita kli esei, why does he get Malkus? The answer is it's a lav shekadmo esei. Why is it a lav shekadmo esei? The answer is because the essay is written before the lav. But wait a second. There was another condition that had to be fulfilled in order to classify something as a lav shekadmo essay. In addition to the fact that the essay has to come before the essay has to be independent of the lav. And in this case, it's not independent of the lav.
It is.
It's not.
It is.
Why?
If he the most on the most came wrong, he stayed married to her. Did he fulfill Loti Elisha? Yeah, he stayed married to her.
That's the Kiyum essay?
Yeah. So because there was no Maisa of another marriage after the Motzi Shemra, that was it? Yeah,
I don't know. I would think not like that. You know, the Gemara says the Gemara says Lo Yomar. This is the language of Gemara. Lo Yomar, quote, Lo Si Elisha, the Motzi Shemra, Shari Ishtu Hi. And the Gemara never rescinds that position. The Gemara says there's no point to saying Lo Si Elisha. It's pointless. Because he's married to her. And for the Gemara, it's not pointless. If he divorces her, we clamp down an essay. And logically, what that would mean is that he could be menatek the lav, and instead of getting Malkus, he has a substitute by fixing up the lav and remarrying her. Nein, he gets Malkus. Because what rule is going to be activated? Essay kodmo lav. But where's the essay kodmo lav? We're only left with one essay kodmo lav, and that's the essay written for the lav. It's look, now I go back to Rashi at the beginning of the sugi, which is on Daf Yudalid Amid Beis, the last line on the page, and I have to read it, essay kodem es alav, vir, and what's the vir? It's a vav hamachalik, which means an o. You know, sometimes the word vav substitutes for an o. O atayoch lakaimo kodem averis alav. So you have two different categories, and this would be very close to the Ritva's pshat. Again, we have to go through the Ritva inside, Belineda, but there are two different ways of classifying something as an essay called Milalav. Either the essay is written before the Lav, even though the essay only applies after the Aver Salav, or the essay, even if it's written after the Lav, is independent of the Lav. The Gemara says, Einochinam. Good. Enochinami means that now I understand that in the case of a Motzi Shemra who remarries his wife, he does not get Malkus. Why doesn't he get Malkus? Because it's a lav. I'm sorry. Why doesn't he get Malkus? Because it's a lav hanitakli esei. Correct?
Just 1 second. I think I misled you. 1 second. Did I make a mistake? 1 second. Let me read it again. Is tneu inyan li achrov di day the loloki? Oh, just 1 second. Oh. Sorry, the loloki, which means that what you don't get malchus because it's a lav hanitak li essay. Ah, I made a mistake. Sorry. I don't think I said it this way before. But anyway, what I meant to say was, you have to scratch the last 10 minutes of what I said and just erase them. And what the Gemara is saying is that v'lo siya li'isha motzi shemra makes motzi shemra in the case where he divorces his wife into a lav hanitak liyes. And therefore it alleviates him of malchus. Good. But our kasha, Rav Yochanan's kasha, was a different one. What about Ma'anes? Ma'anes is a case of a lav shekod mo'ese in two different senses. And yet the Brisa says that what? That there's no malchus. Why is there no malchus in the case of Ma'anes? And the Gemara answers, Osi ones v'gomar mine. Wait a minute. What do you mean Osi ones v'gomar mine? We just finished saying that we cannot equate the two because ones has a certain chumra, the maisa, that motzi shemra does. That motzi shemra has a certain chumra, the onesh of lokim mishalim, which we don't find by ma'anes. But my gomar mine, in fact, the Gemara, I don't understand what you're batting about. I don't understand what your hava mean is. I honestly don't understand the hava mean. What do you mean gomar mean it? Iba kal v'chomer, iba me'matzinu, ikla mifrach, ma'ali motzi shema, shekein lo asa ma'isa. In other words, it could be that the Torah alleviated motzi shema, who divorced his wife, of malchus, and allowed him the possibility of remarrying his wife, because motzi shema is a secondary, second string kind of avera, lo asa ma'isa. How do you know, therefore, that the Torah is going to be so lenient in the case of Ma'anes and allow him the possibility of remarrying his divorced wife and alleviating himself of Malkus? You know why? And this is the final answer to the Gemara, the punchline of the whole sugya, why Ones is considered a lav Hanitak liyesei? Why do we alleviate him of Malkus, even though it's a lav shekod mo liyesei? The answer is because of the pasuk lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yomav. Why does the Torah have to add those two words kol yomav? And the answer is that the Torah is telling you, if you divorced your wife, then you have to remarry her. Chayev loshuv lachzira. That's what the Torah means by kol yomav. V'chein ki osa ravin omer Rabbi Yochanan kol yomav v'amod v'achzer. If he divorces his wife in the case of Ones, he has for the rest of his life a mitzvah hanging over his head that he has to remarry her, and that's the essay. And as a result, it becomes a lav hanitak liyesei. So what is the case of lav shekodmo liyesei? And that's the tome shenichnas lemigdash. And Tomei L'Migdash, Nichnas L'Migdash should be a classical case of a lav anitak liyesei. Why does the Mishnah list it that he gets malchus? And the answer is because it's a lav shekodmo essay. Is that the only lav shekodmo essay? The Ramban and the Pnei Yoshua list another four lavim which come under lav shekodmo essay. Okay then? So please remind me that we're up to Omalei Rav Papa L'Rava. It's a very profound sugya. Okay, thank you so much. Let's just see if by chance in a million...